So you know that we've been reading from this sixth chapter of the Gospel of John for the last 4 weeks. We bring it to a conclusion next Sunday. But until this point in the Gospel, Jesus has been speaking in language that has been much more symbolic, describing himself as the bread of life, inviting people to receive nourishment and life in him, and making that promise last at the end of last week that we begin with this week, that anyone who eats this bread of life will be able to experience eternal life. But there's a definite turn in the language and the intensity with which this gospel tonight takes up, because he begins to ramp up this conversation. He doesn't just leave it at this language of symbol and metaphor. He now says to them quite specifically to eat the flesh that he is able to offer. The living bread is indeed the flesh. And it's of course at this point that the very Jewish crowd rails back in disgust. How could Jesus, how could this man, how could this person who claims that he is a rabbi offer this terrible thing, this terrible choice to us? What on earth is he thinking? What on earth is he wanting us to do? The Jerusalem describes this. They drew back and they began to argue with one another. The Greek is actually much stronger than that. It presupposes that they're almost beginning to come to blows. You know, they're actually, you know, grabbing each other by the cuffs of their robes and beginning to shake them around furiously. It's turning into this very wicked, very violent kind of situation and scene. And so you would presume that Jesus, as the great orator that he was, if he's seeing the crowd beginning to fight and to squabble and to actually begin perhaps to punch each other as a result of what he's saying, if what he is wanting to convey is being misunderstood and misinterpreted by the crowd, surely he would draw back and say, oh no, what I'm saying is not to be taken literally. But instead, he repeats exactly what he just said and then takes it even further. He doesn't just leave it for my flesh, for my bread is real flesh that is able to be eaten. But then this whole call for this blood to be drunk. Now, we've got to, of course, place ourselves back into this Jewish mindset, this whole sense of the power and the whole disgust for blood and for flesh. You know, the possibility of being cannibals is just absolutely anathema for the Jewish way of understanding and appreciating. And the whole sense of the way and the reason that the Jews were instructed very carefully to slaughter and to kill their animals in certain ways, obviously to slit their throats so that all the blood would be drained out, so that there would be no possibility at all of eating or drinking the blood of any animal that was to be consumed. Because there was a sense that the blood conveyed the very life essence, the very whole sense and purpose of an animal. And that was too sacred to be consumed. And so that would simply be offered back to the Lord. No blood would ever pass the lips of any pious Jew. And here, this rabbi is inviting them to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. And it's no wonder that they're just, you know, drawing back and totally overwhelmed by all of this situation. Not only that, he begins then to use a particularly strange word within the Greek language to describe this process of eating. He says it three times in verses 52 and 53. It's not the ordinary word for eating. It's certainly not the word that you would use in polite company to describe this process of eating. It's a very coarse, a very harsh word that you would perhaps use to describe the way that animals would munch and gnaw and chew away on a particularly tough bit of meat. It's that sense of you know, a carnivore really ripping their flesh, their carnivores into an actual, you know, piece of flesh and chewing and munching and gnawing away on it. It's elevated language to try and drive home for us the reality of what Jesus is wanting us to experience. But is he inviting us to be cannibals? Is he inviting us to go against 2,000 years of Jewish tradition and history that has been so firmly established, even from not just the time of Moses, but back in the time of Noah, when the covenant was made with Noah after the flood, and the Lord said, yes, you're able to eat all of the animals with the exception of the blood. Already there at the time of that first covenant, the blood was excluded. So it had been dating back for thousands of years already by the time of Jesus. And so is he now saying, look, we're just throwing out all of those rules, all of those regulations? No. It has to be understood within that Jewish tradition and the Jewish understanding. So what is he inviting them into? Is it simply just a metaphor? Is it simply just that we're meant to receive the body and blood of Jesus as these beautiful symbols, that we're meant to ponder upon them and just to think about them? No. Again, that whole kind of understanding that began to develop within certain churches after the 16th century, as again, there's no support for any of those positions here in this sixth chapter of John's Gospel. Very clearly, he's inviting us to physically eat and drink this experience. So how do we understand it? Of course, it's in sacrament. It's in the language of sacrament. It's in this language of the experience that of this transformation. That's the only way that any of this can possibly make sense. Why does Jesus do this? He does it, as we say in the Mass, again in the Eucharistic prayer, may it become for us the body and blood of Christ. It's simply this invitation that Jesus is making for us to feed us and nourish us. Why? Because so often we struggle. So often we don't make sense. So often, if it's just this purely intellectual and spiritual exercise, it's just never going to make sense for our daily reality. But the Eucharist is that place, that moment in our lives when the Lord, just in such a vulnerable way, makes himself available to us every day. Every day when we celebrate the Eucharist, he makes himself available there for us to be eaten and drunk. So vulnerable, so precious. What an incredible gift the Lord makes himself in the form of bread and wine, such humble symbols. And yet we know, we believe, we trust that this transformation is available for us. Why? Because it's in there, in that moment, that we have that possibility of absolute intimacy with God. Because we take God upon our lips and we're able to receive and consume, and what we eat, we become. And the whole sense of that transformation that happens and is meant to happen then within us, as we become what we eat, as we become the very body and blood of our Lord. Such an incredible gift that Jesus left for his church to receive this transforming power of love that's meant to change us, that's meant to make us hunger for justice, that's meant to make us hunger for all that God is wanting to offer to us. So let's indeed today, as we form the communion line and as we approach this precious gift of the body and blood of our Lord, let's indeed recognize that I'm not worthy to receive these gifts. I'm not worthy to be changed and transformed into the very body of Christ. And yet Jesus offers it to us. Jesus makes it available to us. And so when I or the minister holds up the host today and makes that declaration to us, this is the body of Christ, let's indeed make the amen, that declaration that yes, the host that you hold before me is indeed the body of Christ. But when I receive it, when I consume it, I will also be changed and transformed to be and become the body of Christ. So as St. Augustine recommended to the people in his community, let's make our amen twice. Amen, yes, you hold before me the host that is the body of Christ. But amen, also I recognize that you as the minister and me as the recipient, we form together the body of Christ. Let's make our amen to that mystery and that truth as well, as we surrender and give ourselves, perhaps not as precious and as perfectly as our Blessed Mother did, but let's indeed receive and share in this precious gift of the Lord, made available to us so that we can indeed be transformed to become the body of Christ.